Okay, today is Wednesday, April 29th, 10th day of the month of Iyar. This is the Women's Chumash Shiur. We're in the middle of Parshat Noach Bereshit, Perek Tet. Okay, Rabotai. We're in the middle of Perek Tet of Sefer Bereshit, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants man the opportunity to eat meat. And for some reason or another, the fear of animal kind, the fear of man, is placed on all of the entire animal kingdom. So that was in Psukim Bet and Gimel. In Perek Tev, your fear will be noticed on all of the animals of the land, v'alkol of Hashemayim, b'chol asher turmoso adama, u'b'chol degei hayam, b'yedchem nitanu. Has now been given everything that creeps on the ground, all of the fish of the sea, all the birds in the heaven, all the animals that roam the land, have been given unto you. Kol remes ashehu chai, anything which has life, lochem yiyeh le'achla, ki yerek esev nasati lechem et kol. I've given it to you like I gave you vegetation in the past. Now you have the opportunity to eat and consume meat. So, just a comment or two. One of the Orachayim and one of the Kliyakar, in trying to explain why is it that Noach was the recipient of this license. First 10 generations, not allowed to consume anything that is alive. You have to eat just fruits and vegetables. And now suddenly Noach is granted the right to consume fowl, animals. What changed after the Mabul? So, the Orachayim points out three things if you take the sheet that I distributed. On side number one, where I bracketed the Orachayim, he asks this question. Yesh lo da'at, lama lo hutor habasar le'adam, elo le'noach. Why is it that the license to eat meat was not granted to Adam or any of the 10 generations that followed, but only to Noah? V'nir'eh, and he answers, it appears to him, ki Noach mishelo nitnu lo legimul sibot. It has been given to him on account of three reasons, suggests the Orachayim. One, he'echad, shibemtzu uto matza Hashem lekayim hamin vizulato lo haya mekayim hamin haremes below Adam ubaze zacha ha'adam. On account of the fact that it was through man that the rest of nature was saved. Noach built the teva. Noach took them into the teva. If not for that fact, they would have disappeared like the rest of anything else that somehow disappeared during the Mabul. So on account of the fact that he toiled, went through the effort of bringing them into the Teva, that the fact that the oaf, the bird, the animal was saved only because of his effort, he's now allowed to eat them. That's one. Bet, a second reason, shehu torach bohem v'yoga b'teva. Not only did he bring him into the teva, but once he brought him into the teva, he had to take care of them. He had to feed them, he had to bathe them, clean them. That's an enormous responsibility. V'tseil mad, kama yigiot yoga bohem. And go figure out yourself how much effort he had to put. I'm not going to outline it. Anybody who has a pet will know that you are, married to your pet. Right? It could be 12 degrees below zero and 500 inches of snow. You have to walk the dog twice a day. And there are people who do that. Who actually do that. Believe it or not. It's 12 degrees outside and 500 inches of snow, and they're walking the dog. So you can figure out yourself what it means to take care of an animal. Ve'alav ne'emar yegia kapecha. What's the next part of the phrase? Kitochel. Oh, wow. It's crass. Almost, I don't want to say it, but he said it. Yegia kapecha. That literally what it means, what the psalmist means, in that very famous Shir HaMalot that is sung at all Yeki weddings and Sephardic weddings, that Shir HaMalot, very famous tune which they sing it to as well. Yegia kapecha means when you, that which you work and you produce, you will be able to eat. Yegia kapecha ki tochal ashrecha v'tovlach. That's the best thing in this world, where you derive parnasah based on what you earned. You shouldn't be dependent upon somebody else. You shouldn't have to come to seek communal funds. Yegia kapecha. So the Or HaChaim turns it on its face and says, Yegia kapecha, that which Noach spent effort trying to save, what happened? What's the result? Ki tochal. You'll have an opportunity to eat them. Because you went through the effort of sparing the burden, okay, that's the second thing. Gimel, and the third reason, shigaram be'emtza'ut korbano, shenitratze Hashem, it is through the animal korban, which he offered, that God suddenly proclaimed, what did God proclaim as we learned last week? There's never going to be another mabul. So on account of the fact it was the animal which he offered that necessarily triggered the reaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu never to bring such a mabul, that is a third reason, says Or HaChaim, why God grants him the opportunity to eat meat and not just eat vegetables. It's not terribly compelling, tell you the truth, and that's why I want you to look at the Kli Yakar, who has an insight as to why suddenly this is accurate and true. Oh yes, that's exactly what he's going to say. But only under certain conditions is man above animal. Let's take a look at the Kli Yakar on the bottom of the page. The Hamafarshim Natnu Tam L'Davar. And commentaries have given a reason as to why this change suddenly has taken place. L'fi shekol nivra, anything that is created, nizon mima shetachtav. Exactly. Gets its sustenance from something that is what?
Below it,
on the hierarchy of what? Of life. Right. Ki hadomein, thing, something that doesn't move, has no life whatsoever, like the ground, inanimate. Hu hapachot b'chol hanimtza'im. It is the least of all of that which has been created. Nizon me'atzmuto. How does the land get sustenance? From itself. From itself. V'hatzomeach, and something that grows, nizon min hadomein. It gets its nourishment from what? From the ground, which is inanimate. Ki yinikaso min haaretz. V'chol bal chai, and every living creature, nizon min hatzomeach. Animals get their sustenance from what? From plants. V'ha'adam min hamidaber. Man who speaks, who has the capacity to speak, and is on a higher level than animals, nizom min habalei chayim, will now be able to be sustained by eating a piece of steak, which is one notch below man. However, hani mili kishuhu osek batorah. This is only when a person engages in Torah, and I would say, broaden it to mean like ethical and moral behavior. Ubishleimuto asher alav hu nikra adam. what makes this person a human being and not just a two-legged animal? What makes this person? His morality, his ethics, his decency. Kizula zeh, if not for this factor, which he calls Torah, but it's a much broader vision of Torah, who nimshal ka behemot nidmeh? What is man compared to? Nothing but an animal. There is a perek that we recite in a Beit Avel, in a mourner's house. After the Shir Shel Yom, we recite another paragraph, Olam Natzeach, Mitzvei Korach Mizmor, and it concludes with the phrase, Nimshal Kabehemot Nidmu. Man, ultimately, is compared to what? To an animal. He's going to bite the dust. So he uses this phrase that if there is no decency, morality in a human being, ultimately what is he? Avel d'chaya. That's all he is. A wild animal. Nothing beyond that. V'lama yochal et ben gilo. Why should he have a right then to eat what? Somebody who is his category. Exactly. What addition is going to be added to him? By what virtue does he have a right to go consume something that is on the same level that he's not above? Ki kol mazon mitapech l'teva hanizon. Everything that you eat ultimately what reflects the what? The nature, the characteristics of the person being fed.
You are what you eat.
The Adam kishiyochal min abalechayim, and man when he eats animals, nitosaf shleimut elachai ravo b'madregot min hamidaber. When he eats the animal, you demonstrate that what? I am one level above you. That's why I'm eating you. Just as the animal, what does it do? It tells the plants, I eat you, and what am I? I'm one level above you. But, Adam hanimshal lebehema, but a person who is compared to a behema, ma yitenu ma yosif l'ne'echa, what could he possibly gain by what? Eating an animal on who's on the exact same level. So therefore he adds, he says, it's not just a reward, but in the hierarchy of man, where you recognize that man has an exalted level above and beyond animal, if man conducts himself appropriately, under those circumstances, it is appropriate to now award man the opportunity to eat animals, just as the animal kingdom will eat what is below it. So says the Kli Yakar. You have to say something, otherwise the question remains. Why the sudden change in behavior? So either it's a reward, or it's just now, yeah.
Oh, so it's still a question, though. So why, if that's the case, if it's just a food chain, why didn't it start with Adam?
Because Adam didn't learn Torah. That's what others fill in the gap for him.
And Noah.
Well, of course. How do you know that he didn't learn Torah? Because he knew which one were the kosher animals. He had to learn the Torah. Everything's a medrash.
Okay.
It's not explained terribly well. Not explained, yes.
How do carnivorous animals and animals that attack any human beings fit into
this? I don't know. It doesn't. It does not fit into this little theory. And also, Adam had the simplest of challenges in this world. Not 613, not even 7 at the time. One lousy mitzvah. Just don't eat an apple. Don't eat an apple. And he couldn't even do that.
But don't blame somebody.
What? And don't blame somebody else for doing it. He's, yeah. Not a terribly high level. I shouldn't say that, but yeah. Yeah. Yes? No. He was not. Hevel was.
That
who?
That
doesn't say any place that it was killed. It says that he brought the korban to God. The assumption is that what did you do?
Yeah,
You sacrificed it.
Wasn't Hevel Kain Kain?
But it doesn't talk about the rare.
But Kain brought it from vegetables. What?
It doesn't talk about the rare.
Where? By Hevel. That is correct. It does not. It does say that Vayisha Hashem el Minchato. It does say that God somehow paid attention. Ve'el Kain ve'el Minchato lo sha'a. So it doesn't say Reach Nichoach true, but it does have another expression which means God paid attention to it. So your question is a very good one. If according to Or HaChaim, the reason is because Noach offered a korban, well, Hevel also offered a korban. Why couldn't he be awarded this? It's a good question. Yeah.
But my question is actually rooted in the question of why did Noach think he had permission
to slaughter him? It's a good question. If you're not allowed to eat it, well, he didn't eat it. He did not eat it. Brought it as a korbanola.
The idea of killing an animal.
It's a good question. What assumption did he make that you're allowed to kill an animal? It's a good question.
Hevel did the same thing. Hevel
killed. We don't know. It doesn't say. It just says that he brought an offering. We don't know what he did. The likelihood is, In what other way would you demonstrate a sacrifice? It's hard. You could just say, I'm bringing it to you, I'm giving it to you as a gift. You could do that. Yeah.
Maybe because if God killed off so many people, then why don't you think that you should be able to kill an animal?
Okay, because Noah's not God. That's why. God does what he wants.
And he's also doing it as a positive thing.
Who, Noah? Yes, no doubt. It's a good question. I just showed this to you because people ask the question. I'm not saying these are the most compelling answers in the world, but the question is a legitimate one. And like you say, for nakasha shtapnisht, you know, you don't die because you have a question.
If you don't know that Hevel offered an animal, how do you know that? If you don't know that Hevel offered an animal, how do you know that Kain didn't?
He did bring an animal. It says it black on white. He brought it mibichorot chel vehen. The best of his animals.
So then he knew he had permission to slaughter an animal.
If he doesn't say he slaughtered it. But the assumption we operate with is that a korban includes sacrifice. That's correct. That's the assumption. But it doesn't say it in the text. That is true.
But it's also a Noahide war that you can't use an animal while it's alive, so he had to slaughter it.
He couldn't eat an animal while it's alive. That's going to be the next pasuk. But until now, God didn't have to say, now let's eat an animal that's alive, because nobody ate animals in the first place. Yeah. Oh, scream out. Come on. Say, ich bin du. Yeah.
What about fish? Could they eat fish? Because he didn't say
them. That's an excellent question. The text actually says he does have a right to eat fish. It says this is called the Gayayam. That's a very good question. Why would he suddenly have the license to eat fish? Very good question. And a lot of people have no answers for that, ever. Yes?
I read somewhere the reason Noah was granted the right to eat animals was because when he looked out of the Teva and saw the devastation, he said, what am I going to eat? There's nothing growing, nothing. In order to relax it in a way.
Okay, that's just as compelling. But why do you have to eat fish? You know, tilapia. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the excessively high standard didn't work before. Like when you have a class and you're expecting too much, the first step to making things work is to downgrade. So man couldn't hack it before wanting it to be crackling an angel and only eat vegetation. So this is the readjustment, taking into account man's failure.
So this is what you're saying, it gives man a way to somehow gain better control of him or herself.
It's a somewhat aggressive act, but it'll be a permitted aggressive act.
Okay.
That's getting real. If I'm not going to have to destroy these people over again, I have to accept the fact that I have to let them do something.
I hear.
Just imagine if we were vegetarians, if we had to be vegetarians for the rest of some people choose it, but, you know.
I know, but if this is the only thing that we ever exposed to, we would not know any better. You would not know what a good piece of meat takes for, so you'd say, oh yeah, this is the only thing to eat. Vegetables and more vegetables and more vegetables. That's it. That's all. So breakfast you have green peppers, and lunch you have salad, and this one, you got tomatoes for supper. Sounds crazy, but... Right, it's possible. It is. I'm saying the question, like you said, the kasha is better than the teretz. That's all. That's whatever we're going to say. The question is a compelling question, and we don't really have a really good answer. What suddenly changed? Well, again, right there. Pasuk Dalid.
Is it possibly the perspective of Hashem, like Hashem Nacham? You know, Hashem changed his perspective and gave Noah the right. Is that a possibility?
That is a possibility. Yes. Yeah. Says the Torah, Ach basar binafsho damo lo sochele. So, the way you have to read it is Ach basar, comma, binafsho damo lo tochele. What does that mean? A piece of meat, while the life of the animal is still within it, you're not allowed to eat. In other words, Eiver Minachai. Now let us take a limb of a living animal and eat it. Let's read the Rashi. Basar binafsho, asar lahem Eiver Minachai. Kilomar. How do you read it? Kolzman. Shenafsho bidamo, as long as what? The animal has some life to it, lo tochelu habasar. You shall not eat the meat.
So dam is the nefesh.
What is that?
Dam is the nefesh.
Dam, right, because dam is the nefesh. That's how we see symbolically hadam hu nefesh is a phrase used frequently. Very frequently. What? Yes. Okay. Now Rashi at the end says something which the Ramban jumps all over Rashi. Look at the last caption of Rashi on this pasuk and tell me what word did Rashi add to the text. Look at the caption and tell me what word did Rashi add to the text. The last caption of this pasuk bet, pasuk dalet. What? What word did he add to the text? No, binafsho is in the text. I know it's twice, but what word did he add to the text? On the last, dibur amaschol. V'af. How does he read the text? How does Rashi read the text? He reads the text, Ach basar binafsho damo lo tochelu, like we translate it. And you know how else he reads it? Ach basar binafsho. Stop right there. Now read the next pasuk. If you stop, read the rest of the pasuk. Damo lo tochelu. Now look at Rashi's comment. Hare dam min hachai. Not only are you not allowed to eat aver basar min hachai, but what else are you not allowed to eat? Okay. Obviously, people eat blood if the Torah has to prohibit it. The Torah prohibits for us, even in the Torah. Kol dam v'chol chelev lo tochelu. We read it a couple of weeks ago in chapter 2 of Sefer Vayikra. And the Torah repeats it several times that you're not allowed to eat blood. Many, many times. Just listen to this week's parsha by Yikra chapter 17. It'll mention a couple of times you're not allowed to eat dam.
Man's inclination to actually eat these things?
Of course. Of course. Big desire. We can't imagine it. Can't imagine it. So what Rashi did was he split up the reading of the text. First you read it the way the Trump reads it. Ach basar. Now, how's the next phrase go? Next phrase according to the Trump. It's a mercha tipcha. means those two words are connected. What two words are connected? Dam b'nafsho damo, lo tocheilu. So meat, when the nefesh is still there, as symbolized by what? Flowing blood, lo tocheilu, you're not allowed to eat the meat. But Rashi says, stop sign, in the second way. Ach basar b'nafsho, stop right there. Now I've come a second prohibition. Damo lo tocheilu. So not only you're not allowed to eat aver, meat, you're not allowed to eat blood minachai either. And this the Ramban said, Rashi, made up. The halach is not like this. Let's take a look at the Ramban on page number 2 of the handout. So Rashi, he says like this, Kasav Rashi, he first quotes Rashi, Ba'od nafsho bo, while the nefesh is still in it, Basar b'nafsho lo tochelu, Hare Eva Menachai. That's Eva Menachai. V'af, secondly, Dam lo tochelu, Hare Dam Menachai. In Kain Yomar, Basar b'nafsho v'damo lo tochelu. Why do you have to do that? Just add one little vav and say the following. Ach basar vidamo lo tochelu. If you, the Torah meant to prohibit what? Not only the basar, but the dam as well. Why do you have to interrupt the phrase? Just say, put the Torah, put a vav and that's it. Then you would know there are two things prohibited. Basar vidamo. So look at the words of the Ramban. V'zeh kifi hapshat einenu nachon. The way Rashi reads it, according to the simple pshat, it's not wrong. Number one. Well, lefi amidrash eino emet. And according to the Medrash, it's not true what Rashi said. It's not the pshat, and it's wrong. Shelo nitztavu b'nei Noach ela al ever menachai. The children of Noah have only been commanded not to eat Eiver min hachai. Kidivrei chachamim. Lo al dam min hachai. Kidivrei Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. They have not been prohibited in accordance with the minority of opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. He says not only meat but the blood. But the halach is like the chachamim. So why would Rashi quote something that is against the halacha? The majority opinion always rules. And the Chachamim say that God prohibited only the meat and not the blood of the living creatures from at the time of Bnei Noach. Avo Perusho, so the Ramban says, the way the Pasuk is, the way we read it. Ach Basar B'Nafsho. Shehu damo. How do you know that the nefesh of this animal is still around? How do you measure it? By blood flowing. Lo tochelu. Ki nefesh kol basar damohu. The life of every living creature is measured by what? By blood flow. By blood flow. And that's what we call in halacha dam hanefesh. Dam hanefesh. You are not allowed to eat. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to eat certain types of blood. Certain types of blood. Kol dam lo sochel. What? And there is a penalty of karet for eating blood. But only, what type of blood is there a penalty of karet for? Only dam hanefesh. Only the blood which is responsible for the animal's life. So tell me, well, how are you going to know that? What do? When you shech the behemoth, what happens? The first blood that comes out is the animal still alive. Then what happens? Then that blood, if you're missing that blood until, that's dam hanefesh. After the animal is dead already, it's still going to continue to bleed. That blood, you're not chayiv kares. It's only alive, only malchus. But there is what's called dam hanefesh, and that's the dam shahanefesh yotzei bo. And that's always considered the measure of life. Blood flow is the measure of life. Measure of life. Yeah. Continues the Torah. This is one of the most loaded two psukim around. V'ach edimchem l'nafshoteichem edrosh. Your blood of your life I will hold accountable for. Even though I allowed you to what? Kill a animal, you're not allowed to kill a human being. You're not allowed to kill a human being. Miyad kol chaya edreshenu. We'll see what that means in a second. It's a difficult phrase. I can't even translate it appropriately. Umiyad ha'adam. Miyad ish achiv. Edrosh et nefesh ha'adam. From every single person, I will what? Seek the blood of those who spill innocent blood. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ach et dimchem pasukei, af al pi shehitarti lochem netilat neshama bebeima. Even though I allowed you to what? Take the life of an animal. Et dimchem et rosh mehashofech dam atzmo." How does Rashi interpret this phrase? Suicide. Not killing somebody else. This is a prohibition against taking your own life. Alive. A prohibition to take your own life. And then the second half of the pasuk, umiyad adam, miyad ish achiv, edrofish nefesh adam, that's if you kill somebody else. Okay, so what is this pasuk?
Revenge?
No. What is this pasuk ultimately going to support from a Torah perspective? What is this pasuk going to support? No. No, it says that God will see. What does that mean? You ask the question. How can God see if he's already dead? What can God do? He's dead already. Ah, Olam Haba. Good. Now that might be courage. This is not courage. To courage is when God decides, I'm going to kill you at X time. This is, he takes his own life. So when a person takes his own life, God is saying, I'm going to hold you accountable for that. That is obviously in the world to come. In the world to come, in your balance sheet, this will be held against you if you take your life. And as you well know, this has undergone a radical change in rabbinic thinking. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that somebody who took their own life, you don't mourn for them, you don't sit shiva, you don't sit no shloishim, no kaddish, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Don't bury them in a Jewish cemetery. That's correct. No burial in a Jewish cemetery. So, and this was indeed the practice for maybe thousands, certainly hundreds of years. This was the standard practice because of a real lack of understanding why people are driven to take their own life. Today we have a better understanding that most people who are mentally stable don't just wake up one morning and say, goodbye, Charlie. That's it. They have everything going for them. They have a good job, wonderful family, no problems, nobody doesn't like them. And they're getting a raise next week. Good. IRS is not after them. Nothing. I'm sorry. Goodbye, Charlie. That doesn't happen too frequently. And that when people take their life, we understand today that there are compelling factors. Sometimes it's a little difficult to discover on the surface, but there probably are. And today, I don't know of one case where a suicide victim is not treated with the same respect. And you know, we all know that we've had several in our community, and each time, everybody observed Shiva, everybody had to said Kaddish for them, as rightfully so. But here, the old standard fare was, you did this yourself, you had no right to do it, and this is going to be the only way for us to tell you not to do it. That we're going to threaten you with X, Y, and Z. Yes?
Don't we say that people don't sin except that they were entered at Rosh, just entered them? So that's also the same kind of thing. They didn't really make that decision.
Correct. That's correct. That in order to be classified as a suicide, you have to be of sound mind. And today, we don't believe that anybody was of sound mind. There had to be some impairment of their judgment. Yeah?
I've heard of cases where they're permitted a burial, but in a different section of the cemetery. Is that still the case, halakhically?
Today, we bury in a regular cemetery.
And not in a special...
That is correct. That is correct. Yes?
What about the...
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to start with you again. Yeah?
A suicide is treated the same way as someone who was put to death by the victim. I mean, were they also, they
There was a section of Bezdin of a cemetery for Haruge Bezdin. But if the person did tshuva as he was supposed to, then you do sit tshuva for him. It's only if he's omeid b'cheto. He dies in Bezdin and he refuses to acknowledge what he did wrong. He didn't say chatasi avisi pashati. And a person who's going to Bezdin is supposed to do tshuva. So once he does tshuva, he just accepts his punishment, but he doesn't die a chote then. Then you can't sit tshuva for him. Yeah. Yes, if you interpret Poked Avon Avot that God will punish your children for what you do, you certainly can.
But that's not the interpretation.
No, that is the standard interpretation.
Right.
I have another one.
Okay.
Which I told everybody 50 times already. I told it to you. What? The Mr. Gruss story. That on the positive side. That's correct. Should I say it again?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish for four generations. What will he do for if you do good? What are you going to do if you do good? It says, Notzer Chesed La'alafim. For 2,000 generations, God will do good. So the question is, if one person does something good, God will be good 2,000 generations later, even though that guy is the biggest jerk on the planet, just because the great 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 grandfather did something good means he's going to do something? That's the opposite of Poked Avon Avot. So I don't believe that that's Poked Avon. I believe as there is another pasuk in the Chumash which says Ish bechet o yumatu. Everybody is held accountable for their own cheshbon, not for what your father or mother did. So what does Poked Avon Avot mean? God remembers the impact that you do as it affects your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. So here, in the positive sense, I always mention Mr. Gruss. Mr. Joseph S. Gruss was the single largest contributor to Jewish education in the history of the world. No one is even close to Mr. Joseph S. Gruss. All you have to do is go to various yeshivot, and you'll see how many buildings he's put up, not only for YU here and in Israel, the Gruss Center, but for Lubavitch, for Torah Tamima, which is a yeshivish place on Ocean Parkway near Avenue D. It's the big, big letters, the Mr. Joseph Gruss building, for the Miri Yeshiva. Anybody, every Rebbe, every person involved in Judaic studies in New York City gets major medical because of Mr. Gruss. Major medical. He had a challenge to the BJE. Right? I'll pay one third. The school pays one third and the employee pays one third. So he pays from Salman Schechter to Satmar one third of the premium of every single teacher in Judaic studies in the city of New York. Unbelievable. So what happens? Every year on Rosh Yom Kippur, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges, he opens up Mr. Gruss's file, even though he's in the Olam Emes. And he says, your yeshiva is teaching Torah many years after you died because of your building. So I'm going to give you reward in Olam Haba for 2,000 generations that your Torah will have been taught because you donated to that yeshiva. But who is the beneficiary? Mr. Gruss. And in reverse, if somebody does something that has a negative impact on their children or grandchildren, who suffers for that? Not the children or the grandchildren, it's the grandparent. So what does it mean? Poked avon avot. God remembers the transgression of the grandparent as it affects b'nei banim mishileshim, four generations later. Because sometimes what you do has a negative impact on what people will do later. So it doesn't mean that your grandchild is going to get punished. You're going to get punished. I'm going to get punished. If I do something which has a deleterious impact on what my children will ultimately do. I'm going to invite them. So now, that's Rashi. That this means suicide. And then, how does Rashi interpret the phrase Miyad Kol Chaya Edrashenu? That's a very big phrase. How would you translate? How does the English translate Miyad Kol Chaya Edrashenu?
I will hold an animal responsible. Also, if an animal kills a human being, then it is also to be slaughtered. We know that.
So okay.
Just like men can't kill other men. Animals are not allowed to kill men either.
Good. That's how the Ramban is going to interpret it. Let's take a look at the Ramban first, then we'll get to Rashi. Rashi does not say that. Let's take a look at the Ramban. The page 2, on the left-hand side of the Ramban. Tama ani. I'm a little puzzled. Im hadrisha kimashma'a. If what the Torah is demanding is what it seems simply, miyad hachaya. It seems that if you wanted to read it just the way you did, namely, that just as God will hold man accountable for killing whom? Man. God will hold animal accountable for killing whom? Animal. No. If you want to maintain the parallel, says the Ramban. Miyad kol chaya. Whatever man is held accountable for, I will hold what? Animal accountable. So, could you say something like that, says the Ramban? No. Why? V'ein b'chaya da'at sh'teyonesh o sh'tekabel schar. The concept of punishment and reward can't apply to what? To an animal. Why? Why can't it apply to an animal? Because they have no brains. No intellect. Exactly. What? Good. So what does the phrase mean? What does it mean, miyat kol chaya ed rashenu? If it's not a punishment? If an animal kills a human being, that animal is going to lose its life. Shekol hachaya shetitrof oto, any animal that what? Kills another person, Titaref shall be killed. Kigzeris hamelechi. Because that's what God said. Vizetam sakol yisakol hashor v'lo yeyachalet b'saro. Take a look at that's Parshat Mishpatim. What is it? You don't have to look at it, I'll tell you what it says. Your ox gores and kills a human being. Sakol yisakol hashor. You have to stone the ox. Why? Why? Because it took human life. Ve'einenu lahanish et be'alav b'mamon. And this is not to punish the owner. This is not to punish the owner. Ki afilu shor hamidbar chayiv misa. Even a wild ox that just has no owner, just running around in the desert, if it kills a human being, you have to apprehend the ox and do what? You have to kill it. So what the pasuk means is miyad koli chaya. I will demand the life of any animal that kills a human being, even though there is no logic for it. Gzeirat hamelechi. Because logic would mean it has to be explained that it's done for reward or punishment. Punishing him for what? For killing a human being. That concept is foreign and alien to an animal. No such thing as punishment when it comes to an animal. Therefore, what must be? God's decree. I can't explain it. Why does God take the life of an animal that kills a human being? I said so. I said so. End of discussion. I said so. Yes. No, it says velo ye ochelet bisaro. You're not allowed to eat the meat. It's prohibited not only in eating, but even you can't benefit. Lo ye ochel, not lo yochal. Lo ye ochel means, according to everybody, it shall not be consumed in any fashion, even by getting benefit from it. So learns the Ramban. Yes. So that's phrase number. So according to Rashi, achet dimchem nafshutechem is suicide. Miyat kol chayad rishenu is a prohibition against what? Not a prohibition, a statement that God takes the life of an animal that kills a human being. Umiyat ha'adam, miyat achiv, et rosh et nefesh adam. From the hand of every human being, or his ish achiv, man for his brother, I will take the life. Let's take a look at Rashi. Miyad ha'adam, says Rashi, miyad ha'horeg b'mezid v'ein edim ani edrosh. Ah. Normally, who is assigned the task of what? Bezdin is assigned the task and the responsibility. Correct. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to get involved for? If there's going to be a murder, Bezdin is going to execute him. Especially if there are witnesses. But the problem is there are no witnesses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't think you're going to get away with it. Ani edrosh. I will seek the blood of the person who what? Who killed Bemezid without witnesses. That's the phrase Miyara Adam. Next phrase, miyad ish achiv. What does miyad ish achiv mean? It's a trans, even a funny phrase to translate. From man his brother? What does that mean? What?
My friend.
Also says Rashi. Miyad ish achiv, shu ohev lo ke'ach. A person who loves you what? Like a brother. The harag shogeg. He had no intention to kill this person. He did it what? Ani edrosh im lo yigaleh v'yivakesh avono limachel. If what's not going to happen to the person who killed B'shogeg, he's not going to orei miklot. Lo yigaleh. Somebody who kills B'shogeg has to run to orei miklot and stay there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. That could be a very long time. Very long time. What?
Even with cookies.
Even with the mother's cookies. That's correct. The mother's the cookies. The mother used to give cookies to the people who came to Ari Mikla that they shouldn't pray that her son dies. The mother of the Kohen Gadol would give out cookies in Ari Mikla so that the key people should not pray that the Kohen Gadol drop dead tomorrow morning so I can leave. Today would have to be a little more than cookies. It would have to be like Yankee tickets or something like that. Sha'af ha-shogeg tzorech ha-para. Not only does he have to go to Ari Miklat, he has to ask for Mechila. Because even if you kill somebody B'shogeg, it requires Kapara. If there is no Edim to what? To bring him to Galus, because you need witnesses for that too. V'hu eino nichna. And he doesn't what? Surrender, and he doesn't acknowledge what he had done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Doresh Mimenu. God will take care of it. What is the illustration that Rashi gives in Parashat Mishpatim?
With the axe head?
No. Elohim ina liyado. Exactly the latter case. God will see to it that there's somebody who needs a repair job, and he's going to be up on the ladder, and you're going to be walking by, and just at that second, that person's going to fall down and land on you. Why is he going to land on you? Because you killed somebody b'shogeg, and there were no witnesses to take care of. So God took care of you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in any way that a person is responsible for loss of life, under those circumstances, you have to at least what? Ask, confess, kapara. And I can tell you, I have a member of my family who killed somebody by car, a total accident. The guy was nighttime, and the person walked out in between two cars and no joint. It haunts him ad hayom hazeh. That was 30 years ago. It haunts him ad hayom hazeh that he was responsible for the loss of a human life, even though no one wasn't charged with anything, nothing. It was a complete accident. But the fact that it was through him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this person ought to be killed, knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had something against him, and he just couldn't figure it out, obviously, why he was, yes, designated.
What happens to the guy who fell off the ladder and killed the killer?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he now responsible for an accidental death?
Yes, he has to go to Ohi Miklat. He also has to go to Ohi Miklat.
The
next time he's going to do it, but he falls off, they're going to be witnesses. And when there are witnesses, he goes to Arei Miklat.
But that's still a punishment?
It is. Because Shogeg is Arei Miklat.
No, the guy on the ladder who's innocent. The guy
who's, he's not innocent.
He's
innocent until now. The only time you go to Arei Miklat is if it's Shogeg, where there is a taint of the fact that what? You could have avoided it.
So no, but Hashem used the guy on the top of the ladder as the instrument of death to the.
That's correct.
To punish him.
Yes.
So now this guy's getting punished too because he did something else.
I don't know. Might have done something else.
It's like a vicious cycle.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
The chayev the chayav or the zaken with
the. What?
With the zaken.
Right. And got megalgalin zechut al yidei zakai, megalgalin chiyuv al yidei chayav. That's correct. Yes, that's exactly the phrase. All right. Well, that we, from good people, we what? Trigger good things. For guilty people, we trigger what? Not such good things to happen. We'll stop here and continue next of all.
Joseph Bruce that I worked for him for one summer, and every day he used to give 2 pennies to the office boy and say, go downstairs and get me such a mint. Such a mint was a Yorkshire. Never more than one.
Really?
That's why he had all that money.
Your interpretation with Bokeh Avonos,
right?
It's not the one that the king used with the Asara Harugim Malchus.
Absolutely not. He didn't agree with me. No doubt. No doubt.
That it's establishing a new order of things where man can eat animals in mm-hmm. what conditions he
right.
eat them. And so when the animal kills the human being, while it's not punishment in the sense of accountability, it is recognition that the order of things has been
changed,
has been disturbed, mm-hmm. and therefore that animal has
that,
to die.
That could be. That's very nice. Very nice. Yes.
When my husband had been burned in a fire.
No, I didn't know.
So it was very bad, and he was given up.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors said in Columbia, he said, you better call. My mother-in-law lived in Louisiana. You better call his mother at this point. It was like 2 weeks after that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was going down. And he wasn't expected to live. So I called my mother-in-law on Sunday morning. I thought I said it in the best way I knew how.
Mm-hmm.
And that evening I got a call that she died.
Mm.
That's my fault.
Wow.
That's my
question. No. It's hard to say that.
Well, every time when I on my yard side, I always think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I.